listening to Around Comics.
You are listening to Around Comics, episode 431. A death in the family. The death of DC Comics, HBO Max, Batgirl.
Everything is dead.
Everyone's dying. I'm Brian Salazar. With me is Christopher, the man, Neesman.
The man. The El Hombre.
You don't really have a nickname, do you?
Don't really want one.
Chris, nicknameless Neesman.
There you go. Nearly nicknameless Neesman.
I don't know. I'm not good at giving up nicknames.
No. How are you, sir?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm all right. I have my variety of drinking vessels around me, ready to attack another episode of what? Oh, what's that? Ooh, it's a hard Arnold Palmer. Oh, a hard Arnold Palmer.
Yeah, just like Mrs. Palmer enjoys.
Oh, so what's going on, bud?
Oh, just I was refilling a spa today. That was what I was doing. Dumping water out and refilling a big bathtub. That was my day. So other than that, very
sounds
good.
Horrible.
It wasn't that big a deal. More just time consuming, waste of time than anything else.
Well, speaking of wasting time, we are waiting for one Mr. Tom Caters. He will be here in a couple minutes, but as Sal alluded to, we're going to talk a little bit about HBO and Time Warner and Discovery and all of the stuff that's been going on that's going to be affecting what we watch, what we read.
Look at the devil.
Hi, Tom. There
and he shall appear.
I'm here.
Whoa.
I said your name three times into a mirror.
Yeah, it's a Candyman.
Or the Candyman. The Candyman, Tom. Mm. Yes, the Candyman, Tom. Who can make the... Oh, sorry.
What are you drinking there, sir?
Some Polar Seltzer.
Ooh.
Lime flavor.
Mm. Lime. There you go.
Refreshing. Delicious lime.
All right. You want to jump into this? Kind of talk about what's been going on at the old HBO, the home box office.
Is that where we're going to jump right into?
Are we jumping field? In?
I did create a stinger for.
Oh.
That's our little news.
Oh, wow.
That's way too good for us.
That's way
breaking
too...
news.
Breaking news. Dun, 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 dun. Everything is going to hell.
The gravy train's done, baby.
This just in. Yeah. Warner Brothers Discovery merging with HBO Max and Discovery Plus and canceling all of the movies.
Everything.
Canceling everything.
All of the TV shows. No more kids shows. No more animated shows. No more Batgirl. No more Scooby-Doo. No more
Sesame Street. Get out of here.
No more Sesame Street. Elmo, go fuck yourself, Elmo.
Yeah, Elmo, you're gone. You're done.
You're done.
Get out of here. Oscar, get back in your garbage can. It's over.
It's all over.
It's all over, baby. It's all reality now. It's all going to be reality shows.
All travel reality shows.
It's all going to be. I mean, people will be psyched, obviously, because I assume that you guys, like me, are subscribers to Discovery Plus and are excited about the synergy opportunities, the obvious overlap between
Listen, I'm excited because my AT&T stock split, and now I own the fucking... whatever the hell Discovery Plus HBO Max Plus Discovery is going to end up fucking being.
Yeah.
And I hope that it's, well, I mean, as a shareholder, I'm happy that they've written off like $800 million in taxes now. But as a fan of DC Comics and the movies that they were coming out.
Entertainment.
Yeah. Entertainment. Of entertainment in general.
Yeah.
I'm not really thrilled. I'm not really crazy about this whole this merger.
Well, you know, I guess, yeah. and there's a lot of focus being thrown on HBO and Time Warner and all that because it's happening. But, you know, Netflix has gone through their issues, and you see, you know, Amazon Prime is I think the big players are figuring out the streaming landscape, and I think they came out of their corners, you know, just throwing heavyweight blows, and it just seems natural that there's going to be a little bit of a, you know, receding of what literally the tidal wave of streaming that we've had in the last four years.
They figured out that documentaries about serial killers made out of 95% B-roll does just as well as a $500 million
right
movie.
Why spend the
why spend it? I mean, it's like, you know, I always think about, you know, the what was that movie that Netflix just came out, the one with Chris Evans, Gray Man.
It was great action movie. Great.
Think about like how expensive that movie was and how little it impacted popular culture, like in any discernible. Like it was like number one on Netflix for like a week.
It's like a Wednesday evening, you know.
Yeah. Yeah.
Watch.
And that's something about the quality of it. I don't know. I've heard it's good, but it's like
it's fun.
They don't market it very well. Like, is there, you know, like anyone who doesn't have Netflix, do they first of all know it exists? Are they compelled in any way to get Netflix if they didn't have it to watch it? Or are it's like, oh, I'll watch this and now I'm back to the Jeffrey Dahmer Diaries or whatever, you know, thing.
Yeah, I think for Netflix, it's more retention at this point than anything. Yeah. I don't know that they're necessarily growing their subscriber base or that's where they're, you know.
But that's their problem, right? It's like,
I don't know. I mean, I don't know if they have a problem or not. You know, do they have a problem? Is there a problem in Netflix?
Well, I mean there potentially. Was
I mean, not once they stop spending $500 million.
Like if you spent that much money on a movie, and like even within your own app, you couldn't make it number one for more than a week. Like it's like, oh, I mean, it's just natural. It's what's going to end up happening, you know.
All right, it was $200 million, like, $200 million for Gray Man.
$200 million,
a budget of $200 million.
Yeah, retention. I think they're going through like the same thing that like Peloton did. It's like over pandemic. I think anyone that wanted a Peloton was gonna get a Peloton, and with like Netflix, anyone who was gonna be a subscriber was a subscriber over
lockdown. But I think that happened a long time ago. I think Netflix was like they had first mover advantage, right? Of like,
oh, sure.
That was the streaming thing everyone got because that was the streaming thing. And now as there's more competition, part of it too is people, I've done it where I'm like, is there really stuff on Netflix that I like? Or do I just have it? You know, and then I sit down and I think and I'm like, if I got rid of Netflix, what would I not have access to that like would actually bother me, you know, that I wouldn't be able to watch whenever I wanted to?
The new season of Queer Eye.
And I'm sure people do that with everything, right? They do that. That's how the system now works, right? Is like there's all these like things you subscribe to and you're like, this is, oh, I'll get that. And then you get it for a while and you forget that you're paying for it. And then one day you're like, I paid $15. And then you're like, do I really? Yeah. Like it's.
I like what Apple Plus does. Apple Plus, they just made it $5 to where it's literally, it's like a what's the gym, the $10 a month gym. It's more of a pain in the ass to turn it off.
Yeah, but like in 3 years, you'll be like, I paid $10 for this.
Yeah.
Like, that'll be what ends up happening. It's because that's the cycle all these like these streaming services go through.
So I give all my money's worth. I watch everything.
I don't know if that's possible, right? I was talking to on my vacation. This topic in a different way came up. I was talking about like, you know, it's like hard to even know what's on Netflix. Or what's on Hulu, like to actually like wrap your head around what's available is a really like difficult thing, right? So like you said, the algorithm like feeds you the things that they think, you know, and they have all these things about completion rate. They have things about like how fast do you go through it, right? Do you binge it or do you watch it slow? You know, like shows that everyone gets their completion rate from last episode, first episode, the last episode, you know, that gets a bigger boost, right? So there's all this algorithmic way of feeding you things that they think that you like, but you know,
you are just a formula, sir. That is all you are.
Yeah, you're a formula that they're trying to figure out, right? Like that they're, and that can be unsatisfying sometimes because you're like, oh, I didn't know that was on there because the algorithm didn't feed it to you, right?
It's an interesting thing because it's like, you know, at one point in time, we sort of curated our own things. Like we searched out, we went to video stores or we talked to friends or we, you know, whatever it was. And you kind of found cool stuff from word of mouth or a flyer or whatever. I mean, something in a magazine, that kind of a thing. And you sort of curated your own information, your own entertainment. But now it's just constantly being pushed to you. It's just constantly in your face. Here, watch this. See this. See this movie. See this TV show. Binge this. And it's
consume.
Really no, you know, and like you said, it's all algorithms telling you what you think you like. Or trying to show you things they think you might like. I always laugh at like some of the ads I get in like Instagram or something or online, right? You know, some of it's like, what did I click on that they think I want this? Like, what the fuck could I possibly have, you know, been into that they think I want this product? Because it has nothing to do with my life. But then there's some stuff that's pretty cool that I find all the time. I'm like, oh fuck, I would buy that if I
You know, there's all kinds of techniques for how they retarget you based on like your information, the things you've clicked on. You know, like TikTok actually has a really interesting algorithm in that it's based on the least amount of search. Like, right when you're like on Instagram or you're on Facebook or any of those places, so much of what it feeds you back is built on your own search. But TikTok's is based solely on other people. You watched this whole video three times. Other people that watched this video three times also liked this video. So you don't even have to search for anything. Right. Or like, look, it's like you can and they can use that, but they start feeding you stuff based just like
how fast you flip through something. Do you watch it or do you just go right past it?
And there's very little like of you searching for anything involved in it.
Right.
Before they can like build out like what they think you like, you know, and like and then it keeps building based on what you do. But and I mean that's how all these things are gonna work. They're gonna be based very little on what you search for. It's all gonna be completion rates. It's all gonna be like how fast did they turn this on from when it was released, right? And like it's gonna be interesting, right?
What? Well, I always laugh. I always laugh like people getting upset with like HBO Max. You know, they're getting rid of a bunch of stuff from their streaming service, and they're not going to invest in movies going. You know, when the pandemic hit, when COVID hit, HBO Max, the CEO at the time, you know, famously was like, everything for 2022 is going to be on HBO Max. All of our releases are going to be on HBO. And now the new CEO is saying, no, that's going to stop now. We're going to stop investing money into all these animated shows that people are watching. That are sort of niche but popular. You know, we're going to stop. Movies are not going to be released immediately on HBO Max going forward. It's not going to happen. And I kind of laugh because people get so upset at that stuff, but it's like, it's a corporation. I mean, their job is to make money and be as profitable as possible.
Yeah. What they don't make movies. They make money.
Yeah. Did you think that they were going to sort of like altruistically try and, you know, just give you the best? No, they're going to give you the least amount for the most amount of money that they can get from you.
Sure.
You know, they're going to give you exactly the minimum amount. Now, as you said, Chris, Netflix sort of went against that model and was like, we're going to give you so much fucking content that you can't not pay $15 a month for it. It doesn't make any sense. Yeah. But that's gotten overrun by everyone now doing the same thing. So that's changing. The golden age of streaming is maybe coming to an end. We talked about that a couple episodes ago, where it's like this bubble is going to burst and you're not going to have millions and millions and millions of dollars just poured into every conceivable concept for a television show or a movie that some streaming service will have.
And it's not like it's not like everything's going to turn into reality TV, because there is competition. And if Amazon Prime is making great original content, then you're going to migrate there if HBO Max is not, or if Netflix is not, or Apple TV. So I think there's going to be a balance, right?
Yeah.
Or, I mean, yeah, but also, I don't know. There's not a balance on cable, the thing with reality television shows is they're ridiculously cheap to make.
Sure.
Like ridiculously cheap to make, and you can pump it out, and you can and if you find a thing, right, you find your housewives or you find your franchise, the Paramount. The Paramount cable channel plays Bar Rescue, I don't know, 20 of the 24 hours of the day. It's constantly on, right?
Yeah.
For a network who's, has content that exists on other things, right? So it's like, there will be a balance, but I also think there is always the danger of if you like scripted stuff, there won't be as much. Yeah. And that.
I don't know. People have been saying that for years, though. Like reality TV.
I mean, there'll be another thing.
Yeah. You know? And reality TV has been around for 30 years at this point. Mm-hmm. And people have said the same thing over and over and over again. Reality TV is so cheap to make, everything's just going to be a reality TV show. But that's not the case, because while reality TV shows are extremely popular, not everyone watches reality TV shows or wants to. I don't think HBO Max and Discovery are going to do nothing but reality TV shows. It doesn't make any sense.
It goes up and it goes down and it goes up and it goes down and it goes up and it goes down. I mean, until society collapses and we're not watching anything.
Then we're just watching reruns on VHS.
Then we're just fighting. We're watching the fire pits, and that's what's going to happen. But I think we have been in sort of a golden age of seeing a bunch of different things that never in a million years would you have thought existed, would have ever been made and been made well, right? So I think selfishly.
We got a Doom Patrol TV show.
Selfishly, there's a part of me that's that's kind of sad that people take less chances on those things, because I'm going to die someday. So who knows if I'm going to be here when the next wave up comes, right? You only get so many of the, you only get so many summers in your life. Not to be morbid.
Wow, that All-Star Superman really did get you back.
Right.
Yeah, the mortality, right? Of the mortality. I mean, it always comes back up and down and up and down, but it's always I don't know, there's always a part of you that's at least a part of me that's always I don't know. I'm not sure I'm gonna enjoy this as much as I was enjoying what was happening previously, and now I gotta wait it out again, as I have multiple times in my life.
Yeah, we didn't realize how good we had it.
It's the Batgirl stuff is the stuff where I'm just ooh, this seems not to be a softie, right? But I always think about
old softie Tom.
How in my professional life, I make commercials, and I see how hard it is to make a 30-second commercial and how many people work on it. And then I think about making a whole movie, and I know HBO, they own the movie. They can do whatever they want with it. But part of me is oh, to be one of the people that worked on it and then have it just disappear into the wind, dust, has to be so crushing to have that happen to you of like, you know, like, oh my God, like imagining the amount of work that went into making a movie and then have it get so close to the end. And then it's like, ah, now
well, I heard that they had a private screening, like at the studios,
a funeral then, screening.
Yeah. An intern. And then I glanced over a story that basically the studio shut the directors out of the servers where the
they were going to pirate it.
Yeah, they were gonna release it out onto the internet, which would have been amazing.
Which is pretty funny. But no, I don't see. I look at the Batgirl cancellation as it is, you know, for anyone that worked on it, I'm sure it's heartbreaking and it sucks. And you know, I it's not a good thing, but I don't necessarily look at it as sort of like a portent of things to come in the sense of like, I understand why they did it. It was a middle of the road movie that they didn't want to put another $100 million into advertising it. It, you know, it didn't make sense for them to sit there and take a $90 million movie and go, okay, well, if we're not going to put it on HBO Max, then we have to put it in theaters. So we have to spend another $150 to $200 million budget to advertise it. It doesn't make any sense. So I can understand it. It sucks. And you know, it is a weird thing though. Like, you know, when all the cancellations for the animated shows, like, and I'm not trying to be flippant or like sort of like look at it in the sense of like people are shouldn't be upset about it, but the amount of like, oh my God, there's no point to being an artist. And it's like, well, I don't know about that. That seems a little extreme. Your show.
Yeah, what animated shows are they really upset about? I know the ones I watch are Young Justice and Harley.
It was a bunch of shows I've never looked at. So for me, it doesn't really, you know, it's like, well, the one I know was the Ellen DeGeneres show. The Little Ellen show got canceled. I don't know if anyone's going to miss that a whole lot. What else got canceled?
I think Infinity Train.
Oh, yeah, Infinity Train. But that'll probably end up somewhere else. I mean, that'll probably end up on Netflix or somewhere, you know, someone. And then I think a lot of these shows may be. But I think it's just HBO Max. And they're and they said, like, we're moving away from animated. Basically, they're moving away from kid shows. That's not who they are. That's not what they want to be going forward. Yeah. So they basically canceled anything that had to do with kid shows, live action or animated.
Because why should like Discovery like appeal to children?
But it's not Discovery any longer. I mean, that's the thing. Right, it's not like you're just going to be Discovery and HBO Max combined. That's essentially what it is. But I think what they're trying to do is make something actually new, because I don't think that they can just simply go, well, we're just going to merge these two companies and keep the same content and have no clear guide. I honestly think that's a recipe for something to just completely fail, as opposed to going, well, we're going to cut out a bunch of shit and we're going to have, good or bad, we're going to have a direction. This is our sort of goal. This is what, you know, the direction that we're heading in. So we're going to get rid of a bunch of stuff that doesn't meet that direction. Yeah. And that, at least to me, is a sensible thing. Does it suck for anyone that works on those shows? Absolutely. Unfortunately, that's, you know, the business you're in. You're
also, HBO Max was like kind of my favorite of the streaming services.
Oh,
yeah.
Of like just like having a bunch of different things like then that I could kind of wrap my head around what was on it. Like I could kind of understand like, oh, yeah, they'll have this, you know, and like, oh, yeah, there it is, you know, and like it in a certain sense, you're not in a direction of like, this is the content we make. But as far as like a unit of a streaming service, to me, I thought it was the one that made the most sense, you know, in comparison to like Amazon, where it's like, I can't fucking find anything on Amazon. I don't know what's on there. Like, it's just like
Amazon's the worst interface.
It's just like, what is this? This is on here? Like, I can't tell. I don't know. You know, Hulu is a little bit better, but Hulu too is also sort of like, there's times where things on Hulu, I'm like, oh my God. Like,
Hulu's a little bit of a flea market.
Yeah, it's just like sort of. They
have some terrific original content.
You find great stuff in the flea market. You're going to find a lot of fucking garbage too. That's Hulu.
It's like HBO Max in my mind was the one where I was like, kind of knew. I felt like I knew what was on there or what I could expect to be on there in like a weird way.
HBO Max actually had like designers sit there and create a design system for their service so that it made sense to use, where everyone else sort of seemingly just kept sort of morphing an their web page into a entertainment service. And it's like, well, that's not necessarily the best way to fucking do it. Hopefully whatever HBO Max and Discovery Plus turns into, because they're planning on it being one service, is still
I spend good. Less time on the HBO interface than any other streaming service, because I find what I want to watch so much quicker.
Yeah, I mean, Amazon, it's like I can't even tell what the hell I have access to. Like, I don't, like, that's the thing.
After there's like, stuff that I don't have access to, but they want me to buy, and then
it's so confusing.
Yeah, but I mean, there was Sal. What, there was about a 6 month period there where we were doing ACTV, every week, and it was almost the HBO Max show. But in between, it was Winning Time and Minx, and I think we were catching up on Doom Patrol. I loved Made for Love. I was a great show. That's one that got
Snowpiercer's canceled. Did you know that?
Which one?
Snowpiercer.
After the upcoming season.
Yes. Yeah.
Yeah. They're in production, but that's TNT. What's the
There is a for anyone that wants to. Kind of have this at their fingertips. There is a Twitter feed. Is it still on HBO Max? So you can follow that, and they go through and sort of announce whenever anything is taken off of HBO Max. So far, it's all of the HBO Max originals that have been removed from the platform: Little Ellen, My Mom, Your Dad, Odo, Ravi Patel's Pursuit of Happiness, Summer Camp Island, The Not Too Late Show with Elmo, The Runaway Bunny, Theodosia, Tig and Seek, Yabba Dabba Dinosaurs.
That's all the animated stuff.
I don't know. I've never.
I did hear some encouraging things that they are dedicated to not just maintaining but expanding the DC properties. So hopefully that's good news for Doom Patrol and Titans. And
Doom Patrol and Titans seemingly have been. I don't think it's official, but it seems. That they will get another season at least. So, I don't know. I'm not trying to look at it with rose-colored glasses to some degree, but it's never a good thing when they start just slashing, write-offs for bucks. But I think HBO Max was sort of maybe this is the end of that bubble. Where it's just like they had to try and compete during COVID, but now it's like, we can get people back into the movies. I mean, I think the reality is those studios still rely on movie theater chains for a big chunk of cash, especially internationally. So, moving away from the idea of having, new releases come out on their streaming service is something inevitable, I think. And,
A lot of people in that I'm now in a very comfortable place where I don't feel a need to go to the movies because I know it's going to be on streaming in a month. And I think they do need to change that. It's, and encourage people to, go to the movie theater because it's a unique experience, right?
The problem is, what movies get made is an issue too, because it's like, mm-hmm. Say what you will about Marvel, and I love obviously all the Marvel movies, but I don't want all Marvel movies in the movie theater. And that's a problem too. If you're not going to stream stuff, then are some of these things? There was an interesting. I only saw the clip. I haven't watched the whole episode, but it was Matt Damon was on the Hot Ones, and he talked about this. He was asked about like. Why aren't other kinds of movies being made? And he made very salient points about the reasons that everything is a blockbuster because that's the only thing that's going to survive at a movie theater any longer. It's just, you can't put that kind of money. A studio's not going to put, once again, $200 million to advertise a $90 million movie. it doesn't make any sense. And you know, to hopefully get back now $300, $400, $500 million on a $90 million movie, what are the odds? It could happen every once in a while, but was Batgirl going to make $500 million?
No.
$800 million? I don't know. Obviously, they didn't think so, but
also like the barometer of like what success is now has been altered over the years as well. Of yeah. like actual success is now not just like this. You know, in the past, you could imagine movies like, oh well, this movie cost $15 million to make, and we made $20 million back. Like, cool, like.
Well, okay.
Now it's not that, like, that math has changed to a degree that's sort of like.
Well, what's also changed it is the disappearance of rentals. That yeah. used to be, you know, you could make a $30 million movie. Yeah. It might not do great at the box office, but it mm-hmm. could recoup, you know, all of its money and more in rentals. And now that doesn't exist any longer. So
yeah. it's yeah. funny because. This is like the modern version of major release or direct to video. You know, it's like stuff that goes straight to streaming. That's like this era's direct to video, right?
Except there's no one's paying. You know what I mean? Like,
well, it's a subscription service.
It's a subscription, but
yeah.
Is Netflix, you know, I don't know. I mean, that's the thing too. I don't know how Netflix pays for that kind of stuff. Are they paying a flat fee for something? It's not like a rental thing where like something. You know, it used to be something could come out in the movie theaters and not really do anything, go to video and become a huge success in video, like a cult mm-hmm. favorite or something, and make shit tons of money in video. That's not happening.
Evil Dead.
Yeah, right? Something like yeah. that. But now it's probably like that same movie, it does shitty at the box office. Well, that's just Netflix can buy it for cheap. You know, and nobody's making residuals, probably nobody. I don't know how those deals are made. You know, I'm not yeah. obviously in that, but yeah, my guess would be, you know,
probably not the same as rental, the yeah. way rental purchases worked, you know, where like every rental place was paying $80-$90 per
right,
like, you know,
oh my god, per yeah,
copy, you know, like
sometimes more,
yeah. sometimes more depending on like, yeah, and like that adds up. Right, like you know, like have a little bit of a cult hit on your hands, you can make back your $20 million, you know, pretty rapidly if all of a sudden like it takes off and people are renting it year after year after year. But yeah, like that's gone now. It's like right. you know, it's like with the I was comparing The Gray Man to Avatar, you know, like Avatar. The most successful movie of all time, I guess, by whatever metric you want to say that is, made the most money with, you know, all the 3D stuff, but had virtually like, there's been a bunch of articles about this, about like how it had almost like no like cultural impact of like me, you know, like even the most basic level of like memes. Or, you know, like
I had a couple of people go, hey, did you see that movie? And I said, yeah, it was pretty good. And that was yeah. about the extent of it.
But that was it, you know? Yeah. Or it's like, you think about something like John Wick or something that kind of like has its own, like, just to pull a movie that did have a cult, pop cultural right. influence, you know, where it, like, people dress up like John Wick for Halloween and, like, people make meme jokes about John, you know, like, it exists and, like, people know what it is and it had some impact on, like, popular culture and, like, yeah. how... A lot of these streaming, you know, like, what was that one that we were joking about this like a week or two ago? The one with The Rock and like the Red something? The one that was like this huge Netflix movie.
Oh, with Gal Gadot?
Yeah. That yeah. just
and
was
Ryan like Reynolds?
Huge. Like, less than zero impact in any way on popular yeah. culture, you know, like no yeah.
Red Letter, like, what was it?
Yeah, yeah, something like that.
Red Notice,
like,
red,
just like
thanks,
red,
Nick.
Was it just Red? No,
Red Notice.
No, it was Red Notice. Yeah. Red but then Notice? Thinking, you know, that made me think too in this whole discussion. You know, I've been thinking a lot about like the
Marvel good movie too. That Red, That Red Notice was pretty good.
It was fun.
Yeah.
Yeah. And like,
but it is a thing about like coming out of Netflix. It's
yeah.
You know, it's like vapor. You know what I mean? Like it just,
yeah, just like
it just kind of okay. A week. You know, we all watch. Well, it's interesting. Like, I have a couple of points. I'll just do one, and then I'll let you guys talk. Neil Gaiman was saying like, hey, you know, there's no guarantee. Sandman, hugely successful show, but everybody binged it in a week. And now it's gone from like people's brains, and there's no guarantee that it's going to get a season two because, yeah, it was super popular for 10 days, but then if it drops off the fucking radar, maybe they don't spend a shit ton of money to make a season two of that show. And that's
it's
sort
actually
of
it. Better for them. It's better for them in the Netflix metrics to like people binged it fast as opposed to like extended, like
is it?
Yeah,
I mean, wouldn't it make more sense for Netflix if they did start moving toward? I mean, I think people would fucking throw a fit, but if they started moving towards a weekly release of shows, because isn't the point to get people to stay around for your subscription and not binge stuff? I mean, I don't know if that happens if people like sign up for Netflix, watch a show, and then leave. I think, you know, going back to your point earlier, it's like, well, you sign up and then you forget about it and you pay for
12. Yeah, it just exists. Yeah. You're just you're like, what? Oh, I've got, what's the last time I actually watched something on Netflix? Right. But yeah, I mean, it is like vapor, right? You know, it's just like, it's here and then the next thing comes out and then the next thing comes out. It's like the, you know, I will let you finish your point. Before I interrupt.
Oh, I think that was it. That was
oh, okay.
It was just, I thought it was interesting that, you know, this hugely and a cultural touchstone moment of a show. I think Sandman was a huge success for Netflix, huge success for everyone involved, and was talked about for a couple of weeks, but now it's gone.
And they did release that sneaky 11th episode.
They did, and that was an attempt to try and rectify that a little bit. But
that's a neat little bring it back for another, you know, couple days.
But it's like Netflix, you know, we're also assuming, I don't know, sometimes when we talk about streaming services, and I'm guilty of this, you think that they know what they're doing and they maybe don't know what they're doing, and they make decisions like we'll release everything at once, and it's like there must be some reason, but maybe there wasn't. Now they're just stuck with that, and that's like they're like, you know, do them all. Or, you know, like before there was HBO Max, when it was like we have HBO Go and HBO Max, and everyone's like, why don't you just make it one? And they were like, no. And then they were like, yeah, we should. That actually makes a lot of sense. Like,
oh, and we have this other DC thing floating out there.
It's like, oh yeah, I guess maybe we, yeah, that was totally what we were meant to do, was gonna just do all of these in one shot, you know. Yeah. But it's funny because you think about like the vapor thing, I mean, I think that's true for a lot of things, like everything in streaming too. Like, and I think it's true for the Marvel movies, at least the last couple to me, are just like they exist and then they're like
poof.
Yeah. Thor.
Yeah. Dr. Shelf Strange, life. Like shelf just... life. When was the last thing that sort of, you know, I remember a time where a movie would take over the summer, and that's all anyone talked about for the summer was, you know, Jaws, being an old man, you know, a movie like that, or obviously Star Wars.
Infinity War, probably.
Yeah. I mean, that was probably the last time where it was like, took over the fucking, what, you know, the last few years. And I don't know if it's something to do with the pandemic, something to do with
probably just a little bit,
and just the nature of the you know, it's like everything is on a 24-hour news cycle now. Yeah. It's not just news. It's everything. Everything is on a 24-hour cycle now. Yeah. You know, it's like news, entertainment, everything. It's like, it's there and it's gone. Cause we're just constantly being fed information.
When the Empire Strikes Back came out, there were lines around movie theaters for weeks to see that movie. For weeks. For every showing, there were lines to get in. And it's just, there's just so much more now that I don't think that you're ever going to see anything like that again.
Yeah, it'll be interesting if there ever is something that just sort of like explode. People have
other things to do.
Yeah.
You know, like I,
my kids, I think part of it too is like we grew up with that system in place. And like my kids and kids younger, like they don't even understand.
Lying. Yeah.
Going to the movies. Like my kids like going to the movies because I've been taking them to the movies since they were little. But it's not like something that they think about necessarily as the first way. If they can stay at home and watch a movie, they're going to do it. You know what I mean? Like they don't give a shit about the movie experience necessarily. I mean, they like going to the movies occasionally, but yeah, I just think it's changed so much generation by generation.
Yeah. It's just not.
You have a 70 inch TV in your house.
I do. No, it's bigger than that.
Right? TVs are nice.
And it looks way better than the fucking movie screen
right?
in a local theater.
Some movie theaters just suck.
Yeah.
They're not like a really great, that kind of an experience to go to a movie.
The bar is like 10 feet from my couch.
Yeah, absolutely. There is certainly advantages. I mean, I still love going to the movies. I want to go. Actually, I want to go see. There's a movie I want to go see, and that's been a while since there's been one that I wanted to go
see. What is it?
I want to go see that Bodies, Bodies, Bodies.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
Because I don't think there's been an A24 movie that I haven't enjoyed. Like, they're the new Miramax to me. Like, they're the new, you know what I mean? Like, they're kind of art housey. They make really good films that are quirky and out there, not the average sort of stuff. And everything they fucking made, I've loved. And I hope that kind of stuff still exists, because it's like The Green Knight. Did you guys see The Green Knight? Great, weird movie that most people aren't going to give a shit about that movie. But I'm so glad that that movie was made. Like, it's a great fucking movie. And you know,
it's like a weird thing. What is this? What's that? Yeah, like totally from left field kind of thing to it, which was great. But yeah, I mean, it's like I was joking that the Marvel movies have now truly entered their comic book phase, where it's like, what's happening?
What's coming out next month?
Or it's like, okay, I guess we're just kind of waiting until our next event.
It's a lull in between events. It is.
It's like, what is this? Why? Yeah. Nothing seems to be happening. It's like, this is what comic books are like. Sometimes there's some issues where you're like, I guess we got like 3 months to fill. So,
got
to
tell a story.
Doctor Strange doing something.
And here's this made me think. Nick Lindsay on the YouTube chat.
Oh, yeah.
He said, the boys in Obi-Wan and now She-Hulk get their time in pop culture stretch out with the weekly release schedule. But think about this. Obi-Wan was, what, 6 episodes? 8 episodes?
Yeah. 6. Yeah.
Every one of those episodes is probably better than the first Star Wars movie. And yet it was here and gone in a fucking month. You know what I mean? Like, nobody's talked about it since. Nobody gives a shit about Obi-Wan until the next season comes out. Star Wars, the movie, like, captured the world's attention for years at theaters. Obi-Wan, 8 fucking movies, essentially, that look better, that are amazingly, you know, well-crafted. After a week, nobody fucking cares. You know what I mean? Like, after 6 weeks or whatever it is, 8 weeks, nobody fucking gives a shit. Nobody even thinks about it again. But it's kind of wild to think about that in the sense of, like, how spoiled we are as well with, like, content at this point. There's so much that...
Yeah.
You know, you just kind of throw away and we just fucking eat it like junk food. It's just, it's chips.
Give me more.
Just give more
content.
Yeah.
Give me more content. Yeah. Give me more Doom Patrol. Where's my fourth season?
The other thing I was going to bring up is I was listening to a podcast with Louis C.K. He just came out with an independent movie that he made. And he was talking about, like, how, you know, he loves doing his own movies. He loves not having a studio, no one to answer to, and he can just, you know, do whatever he wants with it. You know, obviously it's his own money that he's using, But when it's all said and done, then he can, you know, as long as he owns it all, he can do whatever he wants with it. He sells it. You know, like, he has a movie. He went and wrote, shot, directed, produced everything, a full length feature film, and you can download it on his website for $15. And it's a different model of sort of like making his own stuff, but it's just the way that he wants to do it. Now, it did have a theatrical release, a small theatrical release, and it did pretty well, that kind of a thing. It's not going to make $1 billion, but hopefully that, you know, more sort of independent filmmakers continue to make films that are interesting and different and not, you know, the same sort of blockbuster. Not that I don't like blockbusters, but mm-hmm. you know, Top Gun Maverick was the biggest movie of this year. That is probably the movie that took over the summer, is Top Gun Maverick.
Yeah.
Right? And it's like, I don't fuck, you know what I mean? Like, I want other
kind of common denominator movie. It's not going to upset anyone, and it's going to appeal to a lot of people.
Yeah, absolutely. You guys see it? Right. I did see it.
I haven't seen it, but I did. There were so many interesting reviews. I didn't get a chance to. I will watch it eventually. I thought it was, as far as movies go, it had the best reviews of the summer, as far as like interesting things people had to say about it. As just like there was one where someone's like, "What if someone made a sequel to a not very good movie, and made like a good movie?" Where they were like, "Wait, this is like a real movie, as opposed to Top Gun, which we talked about. This is almost not even like a movie. It's so like yeah. loosely like built. It's so like
collection of scenes.
Yeah, yeah, like where it's like, oh, wait a second, what is this? I mean, I didn't see it. I just thought I thought the review discourse around it was interesting, because I think people expected one thing and sort of were like, huh, okay, like this wasn't exactly what I was thinking this was going to be. But
yeah, I mean, I don't know if I agree with that necessarily. I think 75% of Top Gun Maverick is just Top Gun.
Yeah,
it's the same fucking movie. I mean, the opening scene is identical.
Yeah,
it's fucking identical to the original movie. The basic plot is kind of the same fucking thing, just told from a different perspective.
Barely a plot. Barely.
I mean, it's enough of a plot so that you can have Tom Cruise flying F-14, F-18.
To get into a dogfight. Do you guys, you know, with there being a shorter leash for shows.
I thought you were going to talk about Tom Cruise.
Shorter leash for Tom Cruise.
But with a shorter leash for shows to kind of establish themselves, do you think we'll see more shows and creators of shows design them to work as a one season show and kind of tell a story? And then if they do get renewed, then it's kind of fire it up again. It's because we all hate whenever you get into a show and there's a huge like season one cliffhanger and then it doesn't get renewed. And I think that a lot of people do that because they think they're going to have the time to.
I think everything should be shorter. Okay. Do you guys ever watch?
I'm cool with that.
Star Trek: The Next Generation is like on BBC America sometimes.
Mm-hmm.
And I loved Star Trek: The Next Generation when I was a kid. Still have a fond spot for it. But now I watch it and I'm like, holy shit, you guys had to make 23 of these a year. And it's like, and you can feel it. You can feel like, oh God, we need 3 more episodes. I guess we'll have this one where, you know, where it's, it's so much. It's so much stuff. It's so much.
I'm kind of okay with like a 6 episode season. Yeah. Six, eight episode season.
Perfect.
It's enough for me to pay attention all the way through. Cause that's what happens. We talked about this on ACTV where it was like, what was the show we were talking about? Doom Patrol, Titans. It's like there's inevitably 3 episodes in the middle that just I start to blank on and I start to glaze over.
Umbrella Academy.
Yeah, Umbrella Academy. Perfect example. Yeah. I love the show, but there's always like 2 or 3 episodes that are just start like going, Oh, what the fuck? Just get back to the normal story so I can finish this fucking season.
Yeah. Doom Patrol, that's the same thing. Titans has the same problem. It's those are 10 issue or 10 episode shows that could be 6 episodes.
Yeah. For sure. For sure.
Yeah. I mean, when you're watching Star Trek The Next Generation reruns at like 10 p.m. at night so you can fall asleep. This is soothing. It's a very soothing show, and you're like, holy shit, these guys had to really scrape the old bottom of the barrel to get the 23.
Like, all right, guys, we got 3 more episodes.
All right.
Who's got an idea?
God, I'm watching Picard.
We already did one with the Borg. What else we got?
Romulan. Romulans. Romulan. We did 3 episodes with Romulans this season. You already forgot? Yeah. No, we need...
Watch season 2 of Picard, because they just throw all that shit in there. But what's weird about the, I don't know if I like this season or not. I'm like 3 episodes into it, and they are taking like 1 episode of the original series where they have to go back in time, and they're basically taking that storyline and making an entire season out of it.
As one does when they're out of ideas.
I think the Picard bucket is empty.
Should have just, you could just end things sometimes. Sometimes it's for best. Just do 1.
Yeah.
And that's it. You don't have to do more of them, you know.
It's Joe Gene just nailed it. It's awesome.
He said the new Star Trek, Strange New Worlds has been the best episodic TV in a long time. Yeah, I would agree. I would say Sandman's right there with it, though. Sandman was episodic, and each episode was its own story for the most part, and it did it great. I mean, it did, you know, episodic storytelling terrifically, not surprisingly, because it's based on the source material. But I don't know. Yeah, I think there is a double-edged sword to it, because it's like, when something's good, I can't get enough of it. But when something's good for a season, that doesn't mean it's going to be good for 5 or 3 or even 2. Yeah. You know what I mean? Like, I'm watching that show, Outlaws, that, and it's like, I love the first season. The second season, I'm like,
maybe there wasn't any meat left on that bone.
Maybe that was enough.
Yeah.
He might have told the story. And now it's done, you know, and like
even What We Do in the Shadows, this last episode, what a pile of shit that episode was. What a garbage, cheesy, corny.
It was a change in direction, wasn't it?
Terrible.
Yeah.
First of all, anything with the Sklar brothers in it is going to be awful, because they are they're like 3 steps away from vaudeville. Like, okay, they're. Between twins, they barely have 1 career, and it's just like, why are these fucking guys still a thing, or why are they why are you putting them in this amazingly funny show to bring it down to this terrible level that they did? And I was just like, okay, well, you know, they sometimes you can't get 10 good episodes out of a season, you know what I mean? Like, you just
we gotta write another one. Oh my god.
Let's get twins, and we'll do a reality TV takeoff. It was so bad.
What if Riker gets trapped in the transporter, and there's 2 Rikers?
He did that in season 4.
All right, there we go. We got one. What if Riker like falls in love with a
chair,
non-gendered alien? Yeah, got it. Done.
There did seem with Next Generation, whenever they were out of ideas, it was a Riker story.
Riker threw a Data Sherlock Holmes in the holodeck.
Oh yeah, the holodeck was a lifesaver. Because it's like, you gotta save that in your back pocket. We can do a Sherlock Holmes one. Yeah.
Data is Sherlock Holmes. Done.
We can do Old West. Yeah, the holodeck was like obviously just the writer's savior. I'm like, I don't know what we're gonna do. When we do holodeck episode. We'll do a holodeck episode. It's like, okay, cool.
Doesn't have to make sense.
It doesn't. It can take place forever. What do we have extra like costumes of on the Paramount back lot?
Picard playing chess with Einstein in.
Yeah. I mean, that's fine. You just start breaking it down. Like, we got to, like, let's just do this episode in like 5 minute chunks. We just need to like make something up.
Like, oh, and there's always the you know, Worf's parents come to visit episode.
Yeah. Yep, you gotta fit that one in. Yeah. You gotta get a two parter in there somewhere. And it's like and it was always like a weird always just a weird Riker.
There was some weird, and it usually did have him falling in love with someone or some sort of relationship thing because he was a sex symbol for some ungodly reason, you know.
I love how prolific his career as a TV director has been after that show. He directs fucking everything.
Yeah. Good for him.
That's, do you see Jonathan Frakes? He pops up on all sorts of weird. I was watching Leverage the other day. That's Marta. It's one of the few shows that Marta and I can watch together, directed by Jonathan Frakes.
Well, there you go. He's a
prolific. It's like, oh no, it's a Wesley episode.
Wesley
coming back.
Poor Wesley. Well,
you know, Dr. Crusher episodes, and then for a couple seasons, there was the episode with the other doctor who no one can remember her name.
Dr. Pulaski. And that
is
was the
Pulaski?
Second season.
Yeah. Oh, as a Chicago one, I should know that.
Yeah. Pulaski.
Pulaski. I can't wait to see what episode's on tonight that I can gently fall asleep to. Like,
nice. Well, anything else? I mean, we talked basically streaming TV tonight. We didn't touch on the fact that, you know, Time Warner, Discovery, all that, they own DC. So, you know, do you think there's going to be a ripple effect that comes down to affect the publishing of the comics? Or is that just kind of like that weird specter that floats over the industry all the time?
No one ever remembers that they make comics.
Yeah, I think it's so small it doesn't really
matter. It's a rounding number.
Yeah. I don't know. I'm sure if it'll have some sort of effect, but I think that I still don't know why Warner Brothers still owns DC Comics, like, other than the idea of like, well, they did talk about, hey, we want, now the new CEO of HBO and Warner Brothers is like, we're going to take a 10-year plan now with the DC movies. And I think this is part of that plan of like, we're going to kind of clear the slate. We're starting a little bit from scratch and, you know,
Mulligan.
A little bit, and so maybe they're looking at it more seriously. Maybe they're you know, I don't know what effect that might have on the comics or not, as far as people working in comics for DC, but hopefully nothing bad.
Do you think we're ready for a bright, shiny era of superhero movies? Is that, could they go like a complete 180 from the Snyder look and feel and make like really, like, bright, hopeful superhero movies?
Would anybody really want that?
I don't know.
Does anybody? I mean, what do you? I don't know. I don't think so. Well, especially you have stuff like The Boys, that's incredibly popular. Yeah. And
make more movies like the original Superman, which was a
bright. You know, I don't think like Aquaman's a million miles away from that. As far as like, of just like, he's a hero, you know, is he like kind of rough around the edges, but like in the end he's, you know, about as, to use the wrestling parlance, as baby faced as you get, as far as like, I like this guy, you know, like,
and that movie was very bright and colorful and, you know, it wasn't overly dark or sinister or, you know, sort of angst filled or anything. It was, but then you had the Batman. So it's like, which was the opposite in so many ways of that kind of a thing. I don't know.
Just black label it, you know, like Batman exists the same as I don't think it's a crazy idea all the time. I mean, I think, and this is obviously a much larger conversation too, if you're looking at like, what do we do with these characters? Like, I wish we had a Marvel Cinematic Universe. And it's like, well, you don't. You know, like, you didn't make an Iron Man. You didn't make some movie that was so, like, popular. As much as I enjoyed the Batman, you know, did it have, like, that impact that Iron Man did sort of pop culturally? No, like, did it have that momentum behind it? No, not really. I mean, COVID had something to do with that. I think the fact that there's like a million Batman movies has something to do with that, right? Like, there's just like, there's a lot of Batman, right?
Miles Teller as Green Lantern.
There you go. Yeah.
Miles Teller, off the success of Top Gun Maverick, you put him back into a jet fighter, you make him a test pilot,
make him
Green Lantern. Yeah. He's Hal Jordan. It fucking writes itself. God damn it. I mean, I sign the guy up. I don't know what else, you know. It's the perfect time to wipe away the terrible Ryan Reynolds Green Lantern. And it doesn't have to be dark. It should be bright. It should be fun. You know,
yeah.
I think there's so many opportunities for DC Comics to do things. Like I said, Metal Men. Booster Gold and Blue Beetle. You give those characters to James Gunn. You know what I mean? Like, what's he going to do with it?
A Blah-ha-ha Justice League.
Yeah,
exactly. Yeah, you know, like something like that.
Well, I mean, HBO Max, the fucking Peacemaker. Who the fuck thought there would ever be a Peacemaker show that not just got made, but it was fucking good?
Yeah. I mean, I could imagine like a Blah-ha-ha Justice League in that like vibe and style of like, not, you know, not probably that same necessary type of humor, but I can see it in my head.
A comedy.
You know, like, like a comedy, like action, you know, based show that could work in that.
How about a Jonah Hex Western that is an actual Jonah Hex story and not weird sci-fi abomination?
I think there's something to be said too for like being like, do you really actually need Peacemaker to be in the same universe as the Batman, or do you the way comics fucking work, where they are but they kind of aren't, but they kind of are, but they kind of, you know, like, you don't see everyone in every comic, and you don't, you know, like, not everything has to be so intertwined as like the Marvel movies were.
You make it as intertwined as you want to, or as the story demands. It's one of the things I love about the Harley Quinn animated is that, yeah, it takes place in the DC universe, but that DC universe, you know, it's its own world.
You don't need it to be this super tight intertwined. You know, I know, like, maybe that's what people expect now for whatever reason.
It's fiction. Have fun with it.
You know, I think you've seen the strength of doing it that way in the Marvel movies, but I think you're also starting to see the weakness of that in the Marvel movies, where that interconnectedness, when you don't have the big event to base it around, now you're just kind of, like, waiting around, right? Like... Well, there's not a lot of style.
They have the problem that comics don't. Every 10 years, they have to roll their primary cast over. Yeah. They get too old.
Well, right? For now, because eventually we'll be able to just, you know, CGI everybody in. You'll sign a lifetime contract that I'm now getting, you know, so-and-so will be Batman for the next 80 years.
Yeah.
And then you'll just like... use this person's likeness. I mean, that's coming.
Tom Cruise will be the
first
to sign up.
Oh, yeah. Tom Cruise immortal. Will be the first one, right?
Yeah, he'll be the first immortal actor. He'll never die.
Yeah. Who's to say that he hasn't fucking done it already?
Like, that ties into lots of weird Scientology shit. To be like, I'll assign a billion-year contract to be in...
Oh, he would
tell me. Oh, wow. Now that I just thought about that, shit, that's going to happen, right? He's
going to be. Do you guys want to go over some quick? I have two things I can offer. I have a comic book that I could talk about, or I have some comic book news we could kind of rapid fire go through.
Let's do comic book news, rapid fire. Wrap this bad boy up. Save the comic for next week. We'll talk comics next week.
All right. News alert! This
can't believe that's part of our show now.
Of course, hot news, breaking news.
Ezra Miller has committed yet another.
He's murdered 17 people.
He's in your state now.
No, there's just a couple of things that were announced that I thought were pretty cool. One was
mothballed movies.
They're going to make a Planet Hulk sequel with Greg Pak revisiting Planet Hulk. It's going to be called Planet Hulk Worldbreaker.
Interesting.
Yeah,
I like Planet Hulk.
Yeah, I really enjoyed that.
JR doing it was it Romita Jr.?
No, it's going to be artist Carlo Pagulayan.
Oh yeah, he's good. Do that I really liked. I forget what. There was something like a month or two ago that I was like, "Damn, this is good.
This is good stuff."
This.
What else we got? Marvel Multiverse RPG announced. There's going to be a multiverse role-playing game from Marvel coming out. The release window for the upcoming Marvel Multiverse RPG, along with details about the game's first adventure, the core rulebook for Marvel Multiverse RPG will be released June 2023. The first adventure book, The Cataclysm of Kang, will be released July of 2023. Cataclysm of King adventure book will offer players the option of either creating heroes that progress from street level heroes to cosmic champions, or choose a different set of heroes to face off in the 6 interlocking adventures in the book. I think we should really play that when it comes out. I think we should absolutely at least do one game.
We all played Marvel Superheroes as kids, right?
Oh, hell yes. Yeah. Going to the Delaney's Marvel Superheroes. Yeah. I played. Yep. So many.
It was a terrible role-playing game. It was awesome playing character, but it sounds like this is fixing what was wrong with that. It's like you have character advancement, and that's fucking cool.
Yeah, I'm gonna probably buy it, and it is gonna be a D616 system. I don't know what that means. I think it's their own rule set, but
yeah.
Yeah, I don't know. Oh, I guess there's... Oh, so here's one of the three... There's three dice. One of the three dice is called a Marvel dice and can trigger a fantastic roll with good consequences whenever it rolls a one. If a player rolls a pair of sixes on the standard dice and a one on the Marvel die, it's considered an ultimate fantastic roll that counts as an automatic success. So you have sort of like critical... So yeah. If you roll a 616, essentially.
Oh, it's a 616. Are you kidding me? That's hilarious.
The 616.
So. We got to find out if one of the online white D20 will have this ready to go, so you can.
I also play online. Did you see they announced the Dragonlance rulebook? They just announced it. It's coming out next year. Or maybe come out the end of this year. I think it's come out in December.
It's an expansion of the existing D&D
system? Yeah.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, you get to create characters in the Dragonlance world, and the first campaign is it takes you from 0 to 11 in the Dragonlance world during the War of the Lance.
So, yeah, and I really want to do that now.
Yeah, I know. I want to do both. So. Justice Society America is back in comics. DC's biggest heavy hitters expand on the team's reintroduction in Dark Crisis on Infinite Earths for an ongoing series set to debut in November. DC announced 3 new titles from writer Jeff Johns. A one-shot, The New Golden Age, #1, a limited series of Stargirl, The Lost Children, and perhaps most notably the surprising and long-awaited, a new ongoing JSA series cover by Michael Janin. So, yeah, I think it's going to be...
Did we ever make fun of the fact that they changed the name of Dark Crisis to Dark Crisis on Infinite Earths like 3 issues in?
I don't think we ever did. No, I don't think we ever. I never realized
that. It should be roasted. It's like, come on, guys.
Dark Crisis on Infinite Earths.
On Infinite Earths. And it's like, yeah. And then in future reprintings, we'll put that on the first 2. It's like, you lost me. I'm sorry.
I'm out.
I'm out. Listen. A little forethought, all right? Just like a little, just a tiny bit of thinking ahead of time. Like, I guess we'll name it this. Like, I want to be in the meeting where someone's like, we should have just called it Dark Crisis on Infinite Earths.
We still can. Like, we still can change that. That's the beauty of Monthly Comics. We can still change that.
We can change it.
Jay Garrick, Alan Scott will be new members of the JSA.
Okay. Jay Garrick? Oh, well, of course, Jay Garrick. Sorry, got my J's mixed up.
And they'll be able to, I don't know who else is in it. I don't know. But yeah, I just thought that was cool.
It sounds like original JSA.
Yeah. Well, we'll see. Also, I thought Tom would like this. Sabretooth and the Exiles is getting a new ongoing series, Sabretooth and the Exiles. So that mini series is expanding into. So there you go.
I do like that.
Yeah.
I do enjoy that.
Starting in November.
Keep going. Who would know that I would like a Sabretooth series as much as. Not me. I'm surprised.
Is that all the news worth knowing? News worth knowing?
What else? I think John Bernthal is coming back as the Punisher in Daredevil Born Again on Disney. And
well, that's right. He does kind of cool.
Yeah, that's about it. I think that's about it this week.
Have you guys seen the She-Hulk ads on the highway that look like lawyer?
No, I haven't.
Okay, they're pretty good. If you're out driving, keep an eye.
I saw the second episode today, and I enjoyed it way more than I thought I was going to.
Oh, good. Well, I'll have to watch that. I haven't watched it yet.
It's got a big picture. It's like in any city, right? When you're driving around, there's lawyer billboards everywhere. Sure. And it's like a big one of her. And it's just like, I go green so you can get the green. Attorney, and it just looks like a bad.
Better Call Saul. Lawyer. It's kind of a Better Call Saul.
Abraham.
I'll get you your money. Like the 75% of billboards on the highway are just like lawyers in weird outfits looking angry, just like, I'm gonna get you your money.
Let me fight for you.
You, yeah.
Have you been the victim of anything?
Anything? I'll
get you money. Whatever it is, I'll find some cash.
I'll do it.
I
go green, so you get the green.
I did see the I don't know if it was part of the episode or it was just sort of a promotional thing, but I saw a video of the actress that plays Titania. Mm-hmm. She was like posting over, spray painting over She-Hulk bus. It was like, it was sort of paint or not painted, but like posterized a bus of She-Hulk. And she was up there like spray painting She-Hulk. So I don't know if that was in the episode or if that was, just a promo thing. That I thought that was pretty funny.
Yeah, the whole Titania thing starts to make a little bit more sense as you find out more about her as an internet influencer.
Ah, okay. Well, that's I hope it makes more sense because it made no sense.
Yeah.
In the first episode, it was just sort of there, but
going after those clicks.
Yeah. Well, it happens. Gotta get them clicks, man.
Yeah.
I gotta get them clicks.
Give me them clicks.
Yeah. Well, can you wrap this one up? Are we good? Are we done?
Yeah, I was gonna talk about my comic book I got, but that's okay.
Talk about it next week.
Next week's fine.
I gotta do some work tonight.
Me too. Real quick, if you want to help the show out and get access to other content, you can do so by going to patreon.com/aroundcomics. There for just a few bucks a month, you can help us not have to worry about paying to host this and distribute it and all that stuff, because the streaming channels aren't going to pick us up. Our Warner Brothers deal has been canceled.
Hopefully you get ad-free episodes. Mm-hmm. You not just bonus content, but you also get this episode will be ad-free on Patreon as a podcast as opposed to live. Of course, you can always watch it live ad-free, but on our iTunes and Spotify there are ads. So
Yep. And speaking of watching it live, I want to thank everyone that chimed in on the comments tonight. Appreciate that. And it's always fun to see conversations kind of popping up between the people that are watching. So thanks for doing that. We have ACTV actually in 2 weeks. This week is K-Billy Super Sounds.
The end.
It's our last weekend of Tarantino. We're at the end.
Also, I want to thank everybody that chimed in on the poll that I put out on Twitter about what we should talk about tonight, and the winner was HBO Max. So we gave the people what they asked for.
You only have yourselves to blame.
Yeah, give them what they want. Also, if you are a fan of K-Billy Super Sounds or think you might be a fan of us talking about movies, I would go to FilmForce5.com or FilmForce5, the Twitter handle, and follow that stuff, because that's going to be something new coming out relatively soon.
Yay.
From some of your favorite people.
Yes. It's going to be awesome. So we got that.
You're getting involved in it, Tom.
Okay. Yeah.
We're gonna rope you in for sure.
Rope me in, baby.
Tom, there will be many, many episodes. You'd be like, oh, I could talk about that. Yeah, so that's all I got. You guys, anything else?
I think I'm good.
All right, awesome. Well, we will be back on this here show next Thursday, 8 o'clock-ish Central Standard Time. In the meantime.
In between time.
We'll be everywhere. In
and around. Comics.
Gotta go stream some stuff.
Drain what? What are you draining?
Gotta go stream some stuff.
Oh, stream. Stream.
Yeah, I gotta start streaming. I'm always streaming.
I gotta stream some stuff.
Healthy stream.
Ooh.
Good prostate.